Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, November 16th. I'm reading from the New International Version for the book of 1 Samuel and the book of Hebrews, and then for the New Living Translation in the book of Psalms. In 1 Samuel 8 today, we pick up on Israel asking for a king. Samuel is getting old. His sons are not as godly as he is. They're prone to take the bribe. And so the elders of Israel want an earthly king. But you'll notice that they want an earthly king like the nations around them. And Samuel is not too excited about this. But he prays to the Lord, and the conversation is recorded in today's passage. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them. But warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your male and female servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and to fight our battles." When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. And the Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the Israelites, "Everyone go back to your own town." Here in verse 20, we hear that the people still want a king, even after Samuel has told them what will happen. And it's kind of offensive to the Lord. He says they want a king to lead us and to go out before us and to fight our battles. But we know that it is the Lord who fights our battles. He asks us to go with him, but it is not our strength or our mighty hand, but it is the unfailing love of the Lord, which helps us and strengthens us and ultimately wins the battle. Now from Psalm 16, today we read a psalm about taking refuge in the Lord. Again, I believe that this psalm is most clearly fulfilled in the life of Jesus, because towards the end of the psalm, it says that you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. So I think this is a foreshadowing of what God is going to do in the life of Jesus our Lord when he raises him from the dead. But I also think it's a hopeful passage for David, who doesn't even understand about the afterlife. They don't have a robust understanding of the resurrection, but he knows that God will not abandon him. He is the God of the living. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he is our God. And we give thanks even now for that forever enduring love. A Psalm of David. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. For you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. As we move to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I just want to say this is one of my favorites. I love the image of fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, this is a very convicting passage to me, but it's a hopeful one as well. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, we're reminded that he's the pioneer and the perfecter. He's the one that is doing the work in us. And because of joy, he endured the cross. And now he sits at the right hand of God. Okay, enough of that. Let's just read it together. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through, 13. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. how much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Here in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 12, we're reminded that God is treating us as His children, as His sons and daughters. And through the Lord Christ, we have an opportunity to be adopted into the family of God. It's complicated though, isn't it? We don't like discipline. I don't. I mean, in some ways I do. I like the idea of having personal discipline, and I like for my children to be disciplined, but it is hard to endure discipline myself. And so my prayer for us today is just that we would accept the Lord's rebuke in our lives, if He has rebuked us, and also that we would pray that the Lord would show us His holiness. Okay, I want us to go back and do some alphabet work. I think sometimes my prayers just get a little bit rote. And so if we go back through the ABCs of who God is, that just gives us an opportunity to look more fully at His love and His character. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank You that every need in our lives has a corresponding attribute in Your character. Lord, You are our Abba, Father. We can come to You in intimacy and know You as Your children. At the same time, You are the Almighty God. You are the one who fights the battles and wins the victory. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are not created, which blows our minds. You were here in the beginning, and You are forever. And You are the authority in our lives. And so we just want to say, Lord, have Your will in us. You are the bright and morning star. Lord Jesus, help us to fix our eyes on You. And You are our burden bearer. It says in Hebrews that You sit down at the right hand of God the Father. And we know that You have said elsewhere that You are interceding on our behalf from that position. You are the bread of life. You provide sustenance for us. Help us to believe. You are our counselor. And so we wait on You, Lord. We listen for Your voice in whatever we need today. You comfort us in our times of grief. And so even now we pray for those in our midst who are struggling with the finality of death or with the loss of a job or with relational struggles, whatever it is. Lord, comfort my brothers and sisters. And finally, Lord, we look to You as Creator. May the morning bring news of Your unfailing love, for we have put our trust in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.